Let's give it up one more time for the King, and his name is Jesus, and I promise you, he is in the house. And we are here to see you live the abundant life that Christ has promised you. And today, well, it's just another step on that journey, because I promise you, absolutely promise you, God has more for you. So don't just make this another Sunday, another day, another time. Make this a day of more. Come on, somebody say more. I'm ready for more. We're continuing our series on the book of Jonah that Pastor Peter kicked off last week, called A Fishy Tale About Faith. You got your study guide, you can pull it out. Last week we were in chapter 1. Today we're in chapter 2. Really, Pastor Peter covered Noah's bad decision-making. That's the story of last week. God had a plan for Jonah's life, to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrians, sworn enemies of Jonah's people. And isn't it interesting how God calls us to love our enemies? I think there was a guy named Jesus that talked about that as well, right? Like loving our go-go. And so he says, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to Nineveh because, God, I know you. I know how you are. With all your love and all your mercy, I'm going to go there. I'm going to warn them. And they're going to turn to you, and you're not going to wipe them out. I'm not going. And so he goes like 180 degrees the other direction. Instead of traveling across land, he goes to sea. He goes towards Tarsus, and he says, God, I am not following your plan. And whenever you decide to not follow God's plan, let me just tell you, there are storms waiting for you. Stormy weather ahead. And so it starts out good. And maybe you are walking away from God. Maybe you think you're getting away with it right now. Hey, I'm not doing what God wants me to. I'm not listening to that inner voice of the Holy Spirit. And everything's going okay. Well, when Jonah started his trip, everything was going okay. Smooth sailing. Beautiful seas, but the farther out they went, the storm started to come up higher, 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 waves crashing over the boat, stuff getting washed off. The sailors start to fear for their lives. They start offloading the cargo. They start offloading everything they can to make sure the ship will survive, and then they're convinced, hey, we are going down. And Jonah says, well, you don't have to. If you will throw me overboard, everything will be okay. What Jonah's really saying at that time is, I'm ready to die. If you kill me, if you sacrifice me, you throw me over and I die in the sea, because they're miles from shore. There's not like, he doesn't say like, put me in a lifeboat. Give me a ring. I don't even think they had rings back then. Life rings. He just says, throw me over. He's ready to die. He said, if you throw me over, put me out of my miserable experience, I've gone far away from God's plan, I'm ready to really end it, just throw me over. And they said, no, we don't want it. We can't, no. And they said, yeah, do that. So imagine Jonah in the middle of the sea, the spray of the ocean in his face, all the sailors, they can hardly see. Somebody grabs Jonah's feet. Someone grabs him by the arms, and you know how you do it. One, two, three. They let him go. He flies a few feet off the boat and lands in the water. The waves are crashing over his head. He is ready to die. And all of a sudden, He doesn't know. I know we know the story. We know, oh, he was swallowed by a great fish. But if you're Jonah in that moment, you don't know what's happened. All of a sudden, you're not in the ocean and you're going, is this what hell smells like? Certainly not heaven. You're disoriented. You're in a state of shock. A state of shock. And I don't know how long it took him, but it took him a while to get oriented and figure things out. Oh, I'm inside a fish. that can't be good. So he's ready to die, but now he's inside a fish. And I want to point out that the scriptures don't say whale. I know some people call it the story of Jonah and the whale, and it could have been a whale. We don't know. It could have been a great fish, like a white shark. A white shark actually can eat a person whole. That can happen. Jaws could do that. Could have been a fish that God created just for Jonah, because God could do that. God is God. He could have just made a Jonah fish, just for the occasion. Or it could have been a fish that used to be in existence and now is no longer in existence. We just know that some sea creature swallowed Jonah whole. And so for all of chapter 2, which is where we're at today, for all of chapter 2, he is inside the fish. He is in total darkness. And I want to talk today about what happens in the second chapter, because when Jonah is enveloped by total darkness, he decides to pray. Let's just make that a policy right now. If you are ever, watch, here's the opening verse. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to his Lord and to his God. Let's just decide, if you're ever inside a fish, good time to start praying. He has not been praying much till now. He's been listening to God. God has been saying, go this way. And he goes, no, I'm not going that way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going that way instead of this way. He now is inside a fish, and he starts to pray. And the whole second chapter is one of the longer prayers in the Bible that we find someone praying. And literally what happens during this prayer is he starts praying in the dark, and by the time he gets to the end of the prayer, he's back in the light. Let me just give you some good news. If you need another chance with God, this chapter is for you. Because Jonah had blown it. He had done his own thing. He'd gone his own way. And God gives him another chance. Have you ever needed another chance? Say yes. And some of you are here right now today, and you need another chance with God. And this story is about how to find that. This story is about praying from the darkness into the light. So let's walk through this prayer of Jonah that he prayed from a very, 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 very dark place. You would agree there's not much light inside a fish's belly. Let's say this, there's not much air inside a fish's belly. So let's talk about praying from the darkness into the light. And the first thing when you are in a dark place is you've got to acknowledge that you need help. You've got to know, you've got to do an analysis, you've got to look over your life and go, you know what? I am in a bad place. You won't find help until you know you need help. That's true for all of life's conditions. You won't find it till you need it. And so Jonah does an analysis of his situation as he starts to pray, and he acknowledges, I am in a very bad place. I'm in a very dark place. In my distress, I'm in a place of darkness, I'm in a place of distress. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered. Watch this, from deep in the realm of the dead. When you are in the realm of the dead, you're in a dark place. In fact, some scholars believe that because Jonah couldn't breathe, because there's not a lot of air in a fish's stomach, some mammals, some fish creatures come to the surface and take in air, but it doesn't go into their stomach. So some people believe he was fighting for his life as he's praying this prayer. He's like grasping for breath. He's being washed, get this, he's being washed in stomach acids. Because that's what's going on. A fish is like trying to digest him. And stomach acids, well, they do what acids does. They're burning his skin. He's gasping for breath. Some scholars believe that he actually died inside the fish's belly. And that's why Jesus references this story that there was a man named Jonah who went into the fish for 3 days and three nights. And as I am going into the tomb for 3 days, I'm also coming out of the tomb and I'm going to live. That's how I know that Jonah's story is true, because Jesus talks about him. And I listen to anybody who dies and comes back to life. I have a policy on that one. You die and come back to life. I'm paying it. And so Jesus references Jonah. This is not like a mystical, like fairy tale, like Mother Goose. This is Jonah. Jesus said he's really real. And it is very possible, I believe very possible, that he died inside the fish and that God brought him back to life. That could happen. God can do that, you know. God can bring people back from the dead. I'm believing that's going to happen to me one day. How about you? Death is not going to hold me. How about you? I'm going to be with the one who came out of the tomb, Jesus. And Jonah prays in this darkness. So let me ask you, have you been overwhelmed by life lately? Are you in, while we're here today, are you in a dark place? Have you been in a valley of sadness for far too long? Have you been using substances to help you make it through the night? You need to acknowledge, I'm in a dark place and I need help. That's a good confession to make. I need help. Let's all just make that, because we all do need help, whether you know it or not, at whatever level you are. But today, you could help someone else by them hearing, hey, there's a lot of needy people in this room. There's a lot of us that need help. Let's all just say it to you. Let's put it on the table. I need help. One more time. I need help. And I recommend, highly recommend, that if you're in a dark place, pray. That's what he did. He's in a dark place. He acknowledges, I'm in a dark place, and he prays. Now, if there are people around you that can help you, connect with them. That's an extra blessing. But let me show you this. If all you have is God, because that's all Jonah had. There was nobody else in that fish's belly. There was no other accountability partner. There was nobody else with him. It was him and God, and God can be enough for you if that's all you have. But some of you say, listen, Scott, I can't pray because I know I'm in a dark place, and I'm here because I've made such bad decisions, and I'm here because I'm so separated from the path of God. I don't think God would listen to my prayer. Well, the story of Jonah is, if God would give Jonah a second chance, God will give you a second chance. Or I call it another chance, because I used up my second chance a long time ago. Another chance. Let me remind you of this. You are not the mistakes of your past. You are the potential of your future. You are not the mistakes of your past. You are the potential of your future. And deep inside the dark belly of the fish, Jonah realizes, I am in a bad place. The second thing he does is, and I'd like you to do if you're in a dark place, is understand how you got there. Look back, do an analysis. How did you get into this dark place? There are two ways, really, that people get to hard, tough times. Sometimes they're led there by the Holy Spirit. That can happen. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for testing and for the season of temptation. So it is possible that you could do nothing wrong. You may be here today, and you look at your life. I have made no really big mistakes. I've been honoring God, and I'm still in a dark place. Does God still love me? And the answer is absolutely. You can get to a dark place led by the Holy Spirit. But more often than not in this book, here's how the stories go. God has a plan. People don't follow that plan. They end up in a dark place. And that's more often than not. God has a plan. People don't follow that plan. They end up in a dark place. And if that's happened, you need to acknowledge that. That's what Jonah is doing. See him pray in verse 3? You hurled me into the depths because I rebelled against you, God, because I did my own things. That's why I'm in the depths, because it's a consequence of my actions. into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and all your breakers sweep over me. I'm in this place because, God, I blew it. Like the prodigal son that Jesus talked about, ended up in the pig pen because he made a series of bad choices. And it's possible that you're in a dark place right now because you have made a series of bad choices, but that's over. Today you're going to make a great choice, and the greatest choice you can make is to connect with God. Amen. So no matter where you are in a dark, if you're in a dark place, there's two things, whether God led you there or you got there in your own steam. You can learn something, and you can grow. You can learn something, and you can grow in every dark place. Dark places are not for living, they're for passing through. They're not for staying in. And while you're in a dark place, you want to learn and you want to grow. You want to become more. So Jonah's there and he analyzes, hey, I'm in a distress, I'm in the realm of the dead. And I'm here because of a series of bad choices. That's why I know why I'm here. And once you know where you are and know how you got there, you've got to stop looking at the darkness and turn your attention towards the light. Turn your attention towards the Lord. I'll say it like this. Number three, look to God. If you're in a place of darkness, it's so important that you stop looking into the abyss of darkness and you lift your eyes up to look to the Lord. Watch Jonah's prayer. I have been banished from your sight. I'm in a very dark place, but watch what he does. While he's in that very dark place, yet, I will look again towards your holy temple. He's in the middle of a fish's belly, but where is he putting his attention? He is putting his attention on the temple. The temple in Jonah's day was where the presence of God was. Now, good news, since Jesus came and his ministry taught us and he's poured out the Holy Spirit, you don't have to go to a special temple to connect with the presence of God. Everywhere you are, the presence of God is. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God is. So you just need to put your attention off of all the bad stuff that's happening and put your attention on the presence of God. In the middle of the darkness, look to the light. In the middle of the darkness, look to God. So stop looking down. Sometimes you talk to people and they're just down and they're looking down. Well, it's been really bad lately. Truckload of manure just backed up and dumped all over me. I don't think I'm gonna make it. Because they're down. So while he's in the middle of dark, he's looking towards the light. So important that you lift up your head. There's a scripture in the Psalms where the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes. And sometimes when you're down, when you pray, you literally have to physically do this. Lift up your eyes while you pray. Literally, do it. Just go. It's why you're here. If you come in, lift your hands up, lift your eyes up, because you are looking up. You're doing physically, bringing a spiritual reaction inside of you because you're saying, I'm looking to God. My family's looking to God. My finances are looking to God. My health issues are looking to God. I'm not going to keep looking down into a deep, dark hole. I'm looking to God. Because whatever has your attention has your future. Whatever has your attention has your future. When the prodigal was in the pig pen, there was a moment he stopped looking at the pigs. And I'm just going to say to you today, from my heart, my friend, stop looking at the pigs. Stop looking into the hole and start looking towards the Father's house. While he's in the middle of the pig pen, he says, hey, I was born for something more than this. I was born for a better place. And he starts to put his attention on the Father's house. And I'm calling you to put your attention on the Father's house. If you're in a deep, dark place, you need another chance with God, you can come from the darkness into the light. So he knows he's in a dark place. He knows how he's got there. He says, I'm going to look to you, Lord. And when you look to the Lord, you're going to start to see things. You're going to start to receive the vision and dreams, which are the language of the Holy Spirit. You're in a dark place, but you're literally not going to see the dark place anymore. You're going to see not where you are, you're going to start to see where you're going. That's how the Holy Spirit works. So you can be in a dark place, but you don't see it anymore. The darkness hasn't gone anywhere. You're still there. But you are seeing something more. You're seeing something greater. And when you see something greater, then you can pray a prayer that is what I call the prayer of faith. It's a prayer that is not bound to the circumstances you find yourself in, but it's bound to the promises of God and the vision that God is giving to you. That was a mouthful right there. Whatever that was good. Just came out. Watch Jonah's prayer. He's down to the roots of the mountain, which means the mountain is on top of me. I'm in a bad place. I'm in a dark place. The mountain is on top of me. I'm underneath the earth. I'm like in a place of the realm of the dead. But watch what he prayed. Watch this prayer. And remember where he is when he prays it. At this moment, where is Jonah? He's in the middle of the fish. He's fighting for his life. He's possibly dying. Gasping for breath. Acid washing over him. Burning his eyes. And in the midst of, watch this prayer. I'm in this terrible, terrible dark place. I'm in this horrible, horrible place. But you, Lord my God, brought me life. And you brought my life up from the pit. Now where was he when he prayed that? In the darkness. But how is he praying? He has seen something more than the hole he's in. He has seen a better future. Lord, I may be in this pit, but I see myself. I see where I'm going. If you're in a dark place, you got to start praying, Lord, I see myself in the light. I see my health better. I see my finances better. I see my relationships better. I see more than I'm experiencing right now, because when you see it as it's revealed by the Holy Spirit, you will be able to step into it. You got to see it. But she said, I'm just surrounded by darkness. That's why sometimes we have to close our eyes when we pray, so we don't see the darkness anymore. I see where I'm going. I see myself out of this fish's belly. I see myself out of this pit. I see myself in a better place. What vision is compelling you right now? What vision is driving your life? Well, just one more week, I got to get through. It's not a big enough vision. We're sitting here on this property, and long before we got here, we would walk on these grounds. We would walk on this property, and we would say, thank you, God, for giving us this property. We don't know how we're going to get it, but we see it as being ours. It was a vision. We would come out here as a church family. We would pray over the property, say, God, we see it. It's going to be ours. We don't know how. One day we came out and said, we're just going to show you how tall the tower will be, because we have the Tower of Hope out there. We're going to show you how tall the tower will be. And so we got a weather balloon and we put it up about the height of the tower. And we said, that's how tall the tower will be, except it was a very windy day. Our tower was on like a 45 degree angle. So we said, you need the eyes of vision and the eyes of faith. It's going to be about that tall. And we gathered and we prayed. Because you can't get into Sarasota without going by the cross. You can't get in without going through by the tower. You can't get in here anymore. You got to go down to, this is the gateway, and we're right on the gateway. We gathered around this property. Before the building was here, we made a big circle around this place and said, okay, God, we can see it. So I'm just asking you, what are you seeing? If it's a deep, dark hole, lift up your eyes, look to the Lord. He has a vision for you. Something more for you to see. Something more for you to become. And Jonah, while he's in the middle of the dark belly of the fish, says, this is not my destiny. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here. And then I just would call you to do what Jonah did, and that is to return to the way of the Lord again. From time to time, all of us drift off track. Some of us a little bit, some of us a lot. We all drift off track, and we need to come back to the way of the Lord. I'm glad that it really doesn't matter how far you have drifted off track or how many steps you've taken away from God. It only takes one step to come back to God. That's called the step of faith. And like Jonah, he prayed. I don't think he prayed for 3 days. I think he prayed this personally, and then I think he died. That's what I think happened. For 3 days, no way to breathe in there. Unless God did create the Jonah fish and it had oxygen in the stomach. But God could have done that. Pumped oxygen in. God could have done that. But more likely, he died. But before he died, here's his prayer. But I'm getting back on track. I'm going to stop complaining about God's plan for me, and I'm going to start shouting grateful praise. You know things are turning around when you start shouting grateful praise. When you stop looking into the abyss, when you stop looking into the darkness, and you start shouting grateful praise. When's the last time you shouted grateful praise? I have made a vow. You know what he was doing while he was in that stomach? He was making God some promises. You ever done that in a dark place? Some of you have. I want to remind you of them. Some of you have been in dark places. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, get me out of here. And I promise you. And I want to just put you in remembrance of your promise. You made a vow. Keep it. You made a vow. He made a vow. He promised. Okay, I'm promising. And one of the things he promised is, I will say salvation comes from the Lord. What he was saying is, okay, God, I'm going to go to Nineveh. Because he knows what's going to happen. The reason he didn't want to go to Nineveh, and we'll find it when we get to chapter 4 and verse 2, when he says, if I go to Nineveh and I tell them that God is going to wipe them out because they've been so evil, I know they're going to figure it out. And I know that my message is salvation comes from the Lord, and that's going to come out, and they're going to come back to you, Lord. And they did. The whole city. We're going to learn about that next week. The whole city. A whole city move. I would like what happened in Nineveh to happen to our community. Why, the whole city, by the Spirit of God, changed by the message of God and by the Word of God. And Jonah knew that would happen. And what he was saying, well, I'm in the fish's belly. Okay, I'm going to get back to my mission, which is to declare salvation comes from the Lord. And I would say that to you today. Salvation comes from the Lord. If you're in a dark place, salvation comes from the Lord. Not from Scott, not from this church, but from Jesus. Who is the way? When I'm calling you back to the way, Jesus said, I am the way. I'm calling you back to Jesus. And if you're in a physical dark place, God will help you. If you're in an emotional dark place, just as real as a physical, God will help you. He will be your salvation. If you're in the darkest place of all, that's a spiritual dark place, a place that is disconnected from God, a place that's been doing its own thing, God will be your salvation. He is the one that takes us from darkness to light. He does it. A few weeks ago, it was Mother's Day, and my youngest brother, who lives in Texas and serves the Lord in the Church of Hope Corpus Christi, got up that morning and went to his office preparing. And he said, I don't feel right. I don't feel good. He felt so bad, he called 911. The EMTs came to his office. They hooked him up to an EKG machine. He said, my heart, I've got this, something's wrong. And they checked him out and said, hey, you're good to go. So he preached 2 times. Got home in the afternoon and said, man, I still, I don't feel good. Take me to the hospital. So they took him to the hospital, and he had a heart attack in the hospital. This is my younger brother, not younger than Peter and younger than me, not quite as in good a shape as me. That's just a brother being a brother. So he has this heart attack in the hospital, and we find out one of his arteries is 100% blocked. That's not good. 100% is nothing's going through. One of them's 80% blocked. And he has a heart attack in the hospital. He's in a dark place physically. So what do you do when you're in a dark place? You pray. You ask God for help. You ask him to help you. And thank God for the doctors, but God, I believe, helped Rod in that dark place. Little or no damage done to his heart. They've now checked it out. Little or no damage done. And I think he's going to live a little more healthy now. Eat a few less potato chips. It's good. I'm just telling you. Okay. So if you're in a physical dark place, God will help you. That's a physical illustration of a spiritual thing. Emotional, some of you are in it, and it's just as real. We can't see it. We can't see an emotional plugged artery. But you know, life's been overwhelming you. Dark place. Or the greatest darkness of all, spiritual darkness. To not be walking in the inner light that Christ gives, and you've been far away from that. Well, you can come from the darkness into the light today. In Jesus' name, that's my invitation for you to do that. And in a moment, I'm going to lead in a prayer that helps people come back on the path, get back on track. And so I'm going to invite you, if you just where you're sitting, close your eyes and also open your heart to the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. Because I promise you, he is right with you now. And I know what he's doing. Because the Bible tells us what he's doing. He is knocking at your life's door. And what we want to do is say, Lord, come on in. Come on in. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer that says, Lord, come on in. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. If you've walked far away from God, this is a moment for you to say, I'm coming back. If you haven't been following Jesus Christ like you know the Spirit of God would like you to be, this is your moment to come back. And so as I pray this prayer, I just want to include you in the prayer. And I want you to take a moment of faith in your seat right now. I'm not going to embarrass you today in any way. But I want you to say, Scott, I'm praying this prayer with you today. And to let you know, Scott, I'm praying with you. I'm going to put my hand up high enough for you to see it. And I'm going to lift my eyes until you and I make eye contact. Because I know that you matter to God. And I know you matter to me. And you matter to this church. So you would say, would you remember me in that prayer? I want to pray that prayer today, and I want to pray it by faith. I want to get back where I should be with God. Put your hand up high enough. Let me just see it right now. Just stick it up high enough. I want to see it. I want to include you in this prayer. God bless you guys. Glad you're here today. Thank you. I honor you, and I bless you guys for being here and just reaching out to God. Put your hand up high enough for me to see it. Don't want to miss anybody. Put it up high. I see you way back there. I see you. Let me just step over here so I can make eye contact with you. I see you. Bless you, dear. God bless you. Did you guys put your, I see some guys right here. God bless you guys. 1, 2, 3 guys, people. Some girls as well, but yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, God, I'm glad you guys are here. Just come back. Come back. God will give you another chance. Do not let the voice of the enemy keep you by saying, no, you've tried before. No, you've tried before. No, no. Jonah had blown it big time. Jonah was willing to die. He'd become suicidal. And God brings him back. God brings him back. And God can bring you back. Anyone else, just put your hand up and join these people. I'm going to pray in just a moment. I don't want to miss anybody. Just people are praying around you. Yes, I you. Yes, I you guys. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Thank you for bringing your friends to experience the message of Christ and to step into God's family and to begin to grow spiritually. So we're all going to stand together. Let's all stand. We're going to close our eyes for a moment of prayer. And I'm going to lead in a prayer. Our prayer team is going to come to minister in prayer to those in just a moment. But we're going to pray the prayer of faith. And this prayer of faith changes lives. And we're all going to pray it together. I'm going to ask 100% of us to pray this prayer. Yes, you included in this prayer. You can pray this from your heart and God will hear it. And here it is out loud. Pray loud enough for your own ears. Don't just whisper it. Pray loud enough for your own ears to hear it. God loves to hear your voice. He gave it to you so he could hear it. And he loves this prayer probably more than anything. The prayer that says, God, I'm coming home. I'm walking with you. Here's our prayer out loud. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I open my life to Jesus Christ. I invite you to be in my life. In the center of my life, to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I repent of my sins and I turn away from them. And Lord, I turn towards you to receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Thank you for giving me another chance. thank you for never giving up on me. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a good prayer. We celebrate that prayer. Yes, we do. We celebrate that. We celebrate that. Now, you prayed that prayer. We want to just help you get a little booklet into your hand called Now What Spiritually. The prayer team has this book, and we want you to get it. Yeah, so come up and get this book. Also, the prayer team is here just to pray with all of the needs that are in this place. Maybe you've been in a very dark place. Maybe you love Jesus, but for whatever reason, either yours or the Spirit of God has you there. You just need some help in the dark place you're in right now. I will tell you, it is not God's will or plan for you to spend living time in the valley. You pass through the valley. So pray with people so that just, I'm going through this valley. Learn what you need to learn. While the prayer team is ministering in prayer, there are communion tables on either side. And if you would like to receive Holy Communion today, if you are a friend of Jesus, you don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion. But if you'd like to come and take the bread and remember that his body was broken so your body can be whole, you want to take the cup and remember that he gave his life so you can have life and remember Jesus and fellowship with Jesus in communion, you're welcome to do that. The worship team is going to be worshiping, leading in worship. The prayer team is going to be praying. Communion is going to be received. Jesus is going to be moving in the room. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, we welcome the gifts of the Holy Spirit now to do things we cannot do. Let me just tell you, one moment with God is more than a lifetime that man can do in your life. One moment with God. So receive that moment. I'm going to pray a blessing. After the blessing, there's no other benediction. People will come and pray. People will go. But may you receive all that God has for you. If you have been a guest here today, we are so thankful that you came. And we would like you to come to our VIP room. It's over there. It's got VIP. We'd like to give you some gifts, just get to know you, and just bless you. You matter to us. And we're so thrilled you're here. We'd like you to come back again as the Lord leads you. So here's the blessing. I just want to pray over you now. May the Lord always make you gracious so that you would know that God is the God of another chance, not just for you, but for those around you, that he loves people more than you love them. He's always encouraging us not only to go to our friends, but to reach out to the Assyrians, the people we don't even like, because that's his grace. God's grace is amazing, and I pray that you would grow in his grace. I pray that you would walk in his grace. I pray that his grace would inspire you, lead you, love you, and help you every day of your life. I bless you in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, you are very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Good to be together. Love you guys. Love you. Come on forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. May the blessing of the Lord be with you.